Rave Atlantis by Smitty. The nightlife on Atlantis is the lamest of any city John has ever visited. It's so pitiful, he actually volunteers to do night patrol once a week just to shake things up. Zelenka is muttering over equations in his lab, and a couple of the botanists are still up, exclaiming over something purple growing in a black-lit terrarium. John walks by them, happily unnoticed. The lowest level is unoccupied, and no one ever patrols it, but tonight the back of his neck itches, and so he takes the transporter down and hears the music. He steps quietly, walking the length of a hallway with his P90 in both hands, and cocks his head to follow the pulsing strains. Club music. Someone is either dancing or getting lucky. He rolls around a corner and finds himself at the doorway of a large, dark room. And the answer to his assumption seems to be both. Bodies twist and rock in the strobe-like light set up in the far corners, and the beat of the bass trembles across the floor. John takes a deep breath, feeling his body react to the music and the lights and the memories they bring back. His eyes adjust to the low light, and he's able to pick out individuals. Campbell across the room with no shirt on, and Kavanagh in some sort of bead-induced trance, eyes closed and nodding. A couple against the wall kisses languorously, and John looks away, not wanting to know if he recognizes them. Colonel. Laura Cadman presses up against his side in the damp tank top, her hair curling around her face. John looks down and thinks that in another galaxy, 15 years ago, he would have kissed her, just because she was there. She fits up against him, pressing her cheek to his, and the word fraternization flickers neon and dies across his cerebral cortex. "Sir," she says in his ear, and of course, that's the only possible way to be heard. "We need somewhere to blow off some steam." John dips his head and pitches his voice low. "What are the rules here, Lieutenant?" he asks, his lips brushing her ear as his breath makes her shiver. "No ranks," she whispers back, and she's been drinking something sweet and alcoholic. He can smell it on her breath. "No titles, no repercussions. What happens in this room stays in this room." "This isn't Vegas, Cadman," he says, because he has to, and it's not lost on him that he doesn't call her Lieutenant. "It's all we've got, sir," she murmurs, and he definitely needs a cold shower. He realizes that she's still dancing, shifting her body against his in time with the music. And he breathes out and lets his body go with hers. It's awkward with the P90 at his side and the thick black vest, but he doesn't need to put forth a lot of effort either. She kisses him, wet and soft, and a shiver runs up his spine. He lets her, kisses her back, and he knows it doesn't mean a thing except that he's standing here and she's standing there. It's hot and languid and sweet, and she pulls away first, mouth wet and eyes shining. He doesn't ask her about Carson, and he won't have to because he's leaving, and what happens in the room stays in the room. He turns on his heel and takes the half dozen steps toward the lighted hallway, to safety. He leaves Cadman and the room behind, leaves the music and the lights and the rhythm that now beats in his pulse. It's rude and it's abrupt, but he's never needed to practice self-control in rooms like that before, and he doesn't like having to do it now. His skin prickles as he leaves and he turns, not sure what he'll find, but not surprised when he finds it. Rodney's leaning up against the far wall, arms crossed over his chest. His leg bounces out of time with the music, betraying nerves as jangled as John's. If we go in there, Rodney says, we can do whatever we want and it won't matter. John's on duty, and people see, and they remember, and he has too much to lose on something that won't matter. You don't believe that, John says, because Rodney's not stupid, and because Atlantis is too small for secrets. His lips are dry, and when he wets them, Cadman's flavour lingers, sweet and spicy. He wants something more bitter.
Is everything pretty soon? She'll figure out what his intentions were about, and that's what you get for falling again. You can never get him out of your head, and that's what you get for falling again. You can never get him out of your head.
Rodney finds himself drawn to the room, and whoever named it something that unoriginal deserves to be spaced. More and more often, he stays just long enough to peer inside, to see who came to dance, to drink, to live just a little more than the day-to-day routine offers. The music's terrible, of course, and who would want Hawling's noxious homemade brew anyway? And yet he finds himself lurking in the hallway night after night, wishing for something better to do. Rodney hasn't seen John in the room since that first night, and he's looked every night. He's not stupid about it, of course. There's an alcove across the hall where he can watch anyone enter while staying practically invisible. It doesn't look like Shepherd's coming tonight, either. It's still a little early. Laura Cadman is just going in now. And for a moment, Rodney hears her braying voice in the back of his head. He thinks, suddenly, that he might be lonely. Ridiculous thought, he chides himself. Cadman had been a guest, overstaying her welcome at best, and an intruder in his head at worst. And Shepherd? Well, things haven't quite been the same as they were before the siege. Rodney? Sometimes the ghost of Cadman's voice is so strong that he thinks, just for a moment, that she's back in his head. Rodney! Rodney blinks, and she isn't in his head at all. She's peering into the alcove, long bare arms crossed, and her red tank top riding up her stomach. He stutters, startled to be caught, although he knew anyone leaving the room could see him in the alcove if they stopped and turned around, the way Shepherd had that night. Lieutenant Cadman, you're looking half-dressed tonight. Where's Carson? Carson's in his quarters, Cadman says evenly, unfolding her arms and slouching against the wall. And there are no ranks here, Rodney. Ah, no, Rodney corrects, because that is familiar ground. There are no ranks in your little den of iniquity over there. Right here, ranks for everyone. Cadman steps closer, inadvertently, or not, blocking egress from the alcove. Come in with me, she says softly. I always see you out here. You're always out here looking in. Rodney's chuckle is ironic and sarcastic and full of derision. Just like Rodney. Not exactly my kind of place, he says. Besides, I've been told I'm something of a killjoy. Zelenka, in fact, once called me a black hole of fun, which I'm sure he meant mostly in the sense of... Cadman grabs Rodney by the shirt and drags him against her with surprising strength. He can't protest any more either. Even if she hadn't surprised the hell out of him, her wide, sweet, perfect mouth is crushed up against his, and Laura Cadman is kissing him. Like most of the kisses Rodney has been party to in Atlantis, this one doesn't really require his participation, but he tries anyway. "Come in with me," she murmurs against his mouth. "Okay," he says. Cadman smiles and tangles her hand in his and leads him into the dark room, pulsing with the beat of the music. "Dance with me," she says in his ear, moving against him, her body flowing like an extension of the melody. Rodney can't dance, and he knows it. It's never stopped him from doing it anyway. Girls will dance with guys who are bad dancers more than they dance with guys who refuse to dance at all. He didn't even need to be a genius to figure that one out. Cadman's hands find his hips, skating gracefully up to his waist and back, pushing him into the rhythm. "Come on, Rodney, it's math," she says. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Of course, just like music, just like the piano. Why didn't anyone tell him before? He'll never be an artist, be able to sketch his body into the music the way Laura does. But technically proficient is better than totally inept. He counts it out, falling into Laura's rhythm, their bodies moving in sync. And it doesn't take long for Rodney to move close enough to lean down and touch his mouth to hers. The kiss is light, cautious on his part, sweet on hers. "Laura," he says, looking down at her, then pressing his mouth into her hair. He feels oddly intimate with her, as if sharing an afterglow that skipped several steps, including the sex. What about Carson? He wants her, he feels that connection with her, but Carson is a friend, and Rodney knows better. "Carson," Laura says, her hand rubbing at Rodney's neck, and it feels so, so good, "is very understanding." Rodney nods. He saw her kissing Shepherd days ago. He knows this isn't anything other than the room and the atmosphere and tensions burning away. He remembers her explanation when she first told him about the room. And he trusts her and he trusts Carson to keep their boundaries firm. And if Laura's boundaries let her kiss Rodney and slide against him in a very, very nice way, well... all that means is that he's luckier than he originally thought. "So this is okay with him?" he asks, leaning in to kiss her again, a little less tentatively. Laura smiles against his mouth. "This is fine, Rodney." "What about this?" Rodney asks, sliding a hand under her shirt and circling his thumb slowly against her soft skin. "Is this fine too?" She nods, tilting her head up to look at him. It's the nicest thing anyone's offered him, he thinks. At least since the Daedalus arrived full of ZBMs and Marines and enough Asgard technology to save John Shepherd from Rodney's bomb. The dancing comes easier when he has kisses and strokes to match the movement of his hips. Rodney's never been able to say the right things to women, but he doesn't have to talk here. And despite the slim, curvy package, Cadman's really more like the men he's been with. If it weren't for Carson, Rodney thinks, maybe he could forget about Shepherd and make a go of it with Laura. "Let go, McKay," Laura's whispering in his ear again, and her hands are pushing at his hips, stopping them at just the right moment, pulling them back. "Let me do this." He can't believe how easily she guides him into the rhythm. Can't believe how precisely they move together until he thinks, "She's been in my body," and recognizes her touch like that of an old lover's. Let go, Rodney, she whispers again, and he does. He's not sure how. Releasing control has never been a strength. But he lets her guide him, and he wonders if this is how it would be with Shepherd. Sweet kisses and matching rhythms and voluntary release. Somehow he doubts it. Somehow he thinks it would be a battle of wills and conflicting mouths and clashing hips. And somehow he's gone hard against Laura, thrusting against her hip, and he tries to stop, tries to draw back, but she won't let him. It's okay, she whispers. Let me help. Her leg slides between his, one between, the other beside, so she's straddling his thigh too. She drags one hand down and puts pressure right where he needs it. Rodney drops his mouth to her neck, to her bare shoulder, and mouths the glowing skin there, tasting her, sweet and strong. The muscles that carry heavy packs in the field twitch and roll under his lips, against his teeth and tongue. Her hand between his legs matches the roll of her hips, and he thinks that this is where the music is supposed to take you. Oh, God, Laura, he gasps against her shoulder. That feels so good. You're amazing. It feels... I haven't felt... Come on, Rodney, she murmurs in his ear before nipping at it. Come for me. Just let go. He squeezes her against him, holding on tight as he does what she asks, and groans into her neck with a power that comes from down deep. He's a mess and needs to go upstairs to change before long. But he's not through here. He strokes his thumb along Laura's neck and under her chin, tilting her head up. He kisses her, long and deep, dipping his tongue into her mouth. She slides away from his thigh, and he holds her head as he draws back. Do you want me to... He doesn't finish, but his fingers on her thigh should be enough. She smiles back at him, pleased with herself and satisfied. Next time, she tells him, leaning up to kiss his nose. It should feel ridiculous and juvenile, but it doesn't. He smiles back and glances away, tired. Rodney's the type of guy who likes to pass out after sex, and his hips are already losing the beat of the music. Hey. Laura's hand on his face makes him look back. Her eyes are sympathetic, concerned. He'll come around. Who? Rodney asks automatically. Colonel Shepherd, Laura says, as if he's being silly. Rodney's heart beats double time, and his body tenses under her hands. I think... Rodney, relax, she exclaims, hugging him again. I'm not going to say anything, she adds in his ear. Come on. I was in your body when you talked to him in the hall. You were tense, but not like you were around Katie Brown. You were glad to see him. She uses her hand on Rodney's neck to make him meet her eyes. He was glad to see you. The way he looks at you, Rodney, he's already yours. Rodney closes his eyes and rests his forehead against Laura's. Inside, he's desperately grateful, breathless, burning with that tiny flare of hope. Outside, he runs one hand through her hair and lifts his head enough to kiss her forehead. Thanks for your vote of confidence, he says in defiance of his inner relief. But your military has some sucky rules, and the Colonel's on a one-man mission to become the Captain Kirk of the Pegasus Galaxy. Laura squeezes the back of his neck and gives him a quick kiss. Just don't be sad, okay? She says, looking him in the eye. And don't give up on him. He's doing the best he can. Rodney stares into her eyes, brown and gold and green and two shades of grey. He thinks about what she says and tries to figure out the words in between. He's already yours. He's doing the best he can. He was glad to see you. Don't give up on him. Okay, he says, nodding, a small tremor disrupting his voice. Okay, I can do that.
Talking to me all night long when my song comes on. Will you come out to play? To play. When you work your body, shake it, mommy. Don't hold back, cause I love to watch you play. You play. And when we take it to the last dance of the night, while everybody else is knocking, we'll be straight.
The room has become a part of his weekly patrol. He tells himself that he's afraid someone will OD down there, but it's not true. There's a blind spot in the opposing corridor, the place where he found Rodney the last time, and he settles in there, just watching. They aren't the first thing he sees, just the first he notices. Amid the mass of bodies writhing under the strobe lights, he sees Rodney with Cadman. They're kissing, sloppy but intense, with his hands in her hair and hers firm on his hips. She's guiding him, forcing his body to give in to the beat. The temperature in Atlantis is carefully controlled. He knows this. But temperature control wasn't designed for this many people getting quite this close. John shifts his weight, and he's too hot in the uniform and the flak vest. Overdressed next to everyone else, even Rodney, who's in his grey pants still, but a shirt John's never seen before. Short sleeves that leave his arm free to slide down Cadman's neck past the small string holding her shirt up. John can't look away from Rodney's palm spread flat against her bare back. She's still with Carson, John's sure of it. She'd been in the infirmary just yesterday, and the way Carson had looked at her was unmistakable. But he'd never know it by the way her hips press into Rodney's. Her mouth looks slick and swollen, even under the spare lighting, when she finally pulls back. Her chest is heaving, but her hands never leave Rodney's hips. They keep moving him against her, pressing in on the offbeat perfectly. John breaks his gaze away, biting his lip so he won't lick it. Rodney's head dips down, pressing a kiss to Cadman's throat, and John stays rigid in place. He wants to see Rodney's face, but they're turned just the wrong way, so all John can see is his skin stretched over his Adam's apple. Cadman turns her head more in John's direction, tilting to give Rodney better access. She's smiling, full lips spread and eyes fluttering shut. She finally lets one hand go of Rodney's hip, trusting him to stay on the beat, John thinks. She slides her palm up his back, nails digging in and raising the fabric as they go. Her hand stills on his neck, finally, fingers curling into the hair at the base. Rodney makes a sudden movement, one that's strangely smooth for Rodney, and his hand presses into her back, pushing her closer to him. He slides a leg between hers and John swallows. John's mouth is dry, his tongue heavy against his teeth. He's sweating a little, just under the vest and at his collar. He should leave. The music gets slowly louder, beat pulsing into John, so he almost vibrates with it. It's getting slower, though, at the same time, so Cadman and Rodney's frantic press of flesh turns into a slow grind. Cadman's fist is clenching and unclenching at Rodney's neck, and John finds himself mimicking the motion on the butt of his P90. She gasps. John can see it, the way her mouth splays open, almost shocked. And John can't help but wonder what the hell he isn't seeing. What is it that Rodney's doing to make her move quite like that? Her head dipped forward, hair falling over her face. Rodney's knee presses up. John can see it. And Cadman's hips jerk sharply. Rodney's hand dips lower, fitting over the curve of her ass, and while his knee is pressing up again, Cadman's also pressing down, and it looks obscene and possibly the hottest thing John's seen in years. He makes a fist hard around the butt of his P90, and it's all he can do not to go over there. And then Cadman goes slack. Muscle suddenly loose except for that one hand, finger still entwined in Rodney's hair. Rodney pulls his head up, his hair in total disarray, and he kisses Cadman, slow and sweet, like he's slowing down with the shake of her hips, going loose with her. John closes his eyes for one brief moment and then takes a deep breath. He doesn't press his hands into himself, it wouldn't help. He licks his lips and rolls his shoulders. His neck is slick with sweat and his breathing is ragged, and he needs to leave now before he does something he can't take back. Cadman's chest is shaking with something that might be laughter or might be broken little gasps, and Rodney pulls back from her mouth with a smile John doesn't recognize. It's the last thing John sees before he slips out into the sharp, cold air of the hallway at night, blinking at the brightness of Atlantis. The problem with Laura Cadman, Rodney thinks, is not that she knows entirely too much about him. It's that she's willing to exploit that knowledge to make his life hell. Normally he admires that kind of ingenuity and creativity, but nothing normal goes on in the room. He always feels it in his stomach first, the heavy, corrupting beat of the music. The tension builds outward from there, seizing up his chest and thighs, before sliding out to his extremities. Tonight it's a slow burn, still in his gut as he circles around to their sorry excuse of a bar. He doesn't see Laura or Shepherd, so he gets a glass of the fruity Athosian wine. It tastes the way he always imagined pomegranates should taste. He's never had the real thing. They seemed messy and expensive and exotic back on Earth, more trouble than they were worth. But here in Atlantis, the wine tastes rich and sweet, heavy on his tongue and forbidden in the best ways. It's with the glass to his lips and wine washing sweetly down his throat that he sees them. Shepherd's hand is fisted up in the reddish gold fall of Laura's hair. Rodney can't see her hands, but he's sure that if they're on Shepherd, they're touching hard muscle. Shepherd's fucking her mouth with his tongue, intense and earnest and single-minded. Rodney's body prickles all over. If he's found Shepherd's full attention arousing when the man yells at him, that's nothing compared to watching all that intensity applied to kissing. As Rodney watches, Laura twists her mouth away and leans in to put her mouth at Shepherd's ear. Shepherd opens his eyes, and before it even occurs to Rodney to take cover within the crowd, those eyes are fixed on him. He thinks he should look away, but can't bring himself to actually break the connection. Shepherd's eyes are dark in the low light, hooded by the brows knit over them. Those eyebrows fascinate Rodney, the way they mould John's face into those quirky little expressions Rodney imagines are just for him. He wants to run the side of his thumb over them, feel the arch of bone underneath, press kisses to the corner. Rodney lifts his wine glass to his lips and, without breaking eye contact, tosses back the rest. Shepherd licks his own mouth, and without even thinking about it, Rodney mimics him. He tastes sweet alcohol and fruit that isn't really pomegranate. He thinks John must be tasting Laura. John tilts his head, but not his eyes, down to speak in Laura's ear. Her hair hides John's mouth, blocks his words from Rodney's eyes. John watches Rodney as he cups both hands under Laura's ass and hauls her against his leg. Rodney can't look away from John's eyes, even as he peripherally charts the sensual way Laura grinds herself against John's leg. By bowing her back against his supporting hand, and the way John bites his lip as she clutches at his arm. John's hands will leave marks on her bare skin, and Rodney wonders if he'll be able to see them. He follows the long line of her back with his eyes, nodding unconsciously with the beat of the music and the pulse of her body. Her neck is pale and long, exposed when she drops her head back, and John leans forward to tongue the pulse, to use his teeth on her, and his eyes are watching Rodney the entire time, daring him, begging him, warning him. Rodney licks dry lips, wishing he knew what John was asking, wishing he had the bravery to cross the room and show John everything he's missing. Laura distracts him from those thoughts, the toss of her golden hair glimmering under the lights as she squirms on John's leg. Rodney wants to reach out to her as much as he wants to reach out to John, to touch and comfort and arouse, and to satisfy. They all want to see Laura come, and Rodney knows how to do it. He lifts a hand to his own chest and rubs a thumb over one nipple. It's already hard under his shirt and the touch goes straight to his groin. John's eyes break away, long enough to run up and down Rodney's body, making him feel totally naked. And then he spreads his hands wide, catching the tip of Laura's breast with his thumb. Rodney watches her body tense and shudder, and John's eyes gleam at him from across the room. He circles his own nipple and then spreads his palm across his chest. Laura likes his hand against her breast, and John's still watching him, still waiting for the next instruction. Rodney knows what Laura feels like in his hand, warm and heavy and sweet. She sighs against his mouth and grinds harder against him, and he knows that John's feeling that now, that John's weighing her breast and hearing her voice in his ear. John's mouth is on her ear, kissing and biting and whispering dirty things. Rodney's sure they're dirty, even if he doesn't know what they are. But his eyes are looking across the room, and there's no question who he's looking at. Rodney puts aside the wine glass he never thought to set down, and lets his free hand wander down over his hip, take a long lingering sweep over the front of his pants, and slide down between his legs. His palm cups over the curve of his cock, and he wonders if John can tell from so far away that Rodney is gloriously, achingly hard for both John and for Laura. He thinks it must be pretty obvious, and spreads his fingers, stroking his balls and the creases of his legs, and back, back. John's eyes go dark, and he shifts so that Rodney knows he's pressing between Laura's legs, just as Rodney's pressing between his own. Rodney slides his hand up and rubs a steady stroke, up and down, and it's a little faster than he usually goes for, but it works for Laura, and John's mirroring his every move. Looking at John means looking at Laura, and he can see clearly when the urgency hits her, when she starts working herself hard on John's hand. And when he shifts his gaze, Rodney can see John's fingers between her legs, working her from front to back through her pants. John says something in Laura's ear, and she crashes against him and goes slack. Rodney can't see her shudder, but he remembers the fine liquid shiver of her muscles coming down. John strokes her back, gentling her like a spooked colt. He mouths kisses into her hair, his eyes fixed on Rodney the entire time. And Rodney can't help but think how fucked up they all are.
I knew a girl named Nikki, I guess you could say she was a sex fiend. I met her in a hotel lobby, masturbating with a magazine. Said, how'd you like to waste some time? And I could not resist when I saw little Nikki grind.
I remember this song from the first time around, John says in Cadman's ear, mouthing its shell. Her body presses perfectly up against his, every curve sliding against him. And as long as he keeps his eyes closed, they might as well be the only two people in the room. Years ago, in Texas. You weren't old enough to be in a place like this, Cadman says, sliding her hips with the beat, her voice pitched only for him. No, But I was a juvenile delinquent with a fake ID and dirt on all the airmen on base, John counters, running his fingers down her side. He finds the hollow behind her ear with his mouth and kisses her there, waits for the shiver to slide down her spine, and then presses his teeth against the skin. You can have sex on a dance floor like this. It's an old story, one he's nearly forgotten, and if he were in his right mind, it would stay that way. Did you? She asks, like she already knows the answer. He presses open-mouthed kisses down the side of her throat, sliding his hand over the smooth skin of her stomach. He feels the warmth against the inside of his wrist. In the dark, he whispers, half hoping she won't be able to hear him. It's pretty damn easy to slide your hand up someone's thigh and under her skirt. And once his hand was there, he remembers, it was pretty damn easy to realize just how different men and women were under their clothes. This song, he continued, pressing his palm to her hip and drawing it slowly across her waistband, fingers brushing her thighs, was playing, and I drunk more than I have before or since. The last isn't true, but it was the last time that being that drunk had gotten him anything nearly that nice. Cadman's hands flatten on his thighs, drawing down, and he feels his pants pull tight over his hips. The pressure feels good. Great. And he strokes his fingers across her stomach, right along the top of her pants. It was hot, he went on. She put my hand between her legs and showed me what to do. John puts his mouth on Cadman's neck, slides his fingers just inside her pants and whispers, and I got her off. Right there on the floor with 1,000 people dancing around us. Cadman breathes in short, shallow pants, her weight entirely on his chest. She presses her hand over the one he's sliding inside her panties and draws both upward, the message unmistakable. Too much. So there are boundaries, he thinks, with more smugness and regret. Wrapping his arms around her in a hug, and kisses her neck to let her know he doesn't mind. He does mind. He's heavy and feverish, and he wants to have sex. It would be good with her, enthusiastic and fun, and she'd probably want to be on top. But she's not who he wants, and they both know it. He's not who she wants either, but she has Carson, wherever he is. This is something else entirely. She flushes a little and turns in his arms, smile rueful. What about you? She asks, pressing close. The weight is on his chest, not his cock, which wasn't nearly as satisfying. She took me outside, he says, suddenly wanting for breath. He knows the rules. He knows how far outside, in direct violation of regulations this is, and he wonders how he got to this place, where he makes out and grinds against his own subordinates, and it doesn't even feel wrong. Did she touch you? Cadman breathes. Did she suck you off? Yeah, John says, his voice suddenly AWOL as Cadman rolls her hips against him just right. I just leaned back against the wall and she went to her knees, and I saw stars. Cadman mouthed along his cheekbone. When was the last time you saw stars? She asked, voice hoarse. Last week, he says, like this is a normal conversation, the kind he's allowed to have, and he shouldn't tell her this. This is over the line, and he's marching forward recklessly. After I saw you dancing with Rodney, he made you come right here on the dance floor. You liked that? She asks, her eyes wide and golden. It was hot. He spreads a hand on her ass, making her muscles tense. I spent days trying to figure out how he did it. I spent hours imagining how it felt. I thought I was going crazy. He's in love with you, you know, she says quickly, without the lassitude of their earlier conversation. Rodney? No. John shakes his head. He's got a crush or something. Cadman lays her hand on the back of his neck and brings his forehead down to hers. "He's watching us right now," she says in a voice so low and intense John's cock twitches. There's an acoustical anomaly he found when we were setting up the room. It's 5 feet to your left, and if I had you standing in that spot, he would have been able to hear every word you said. John's mouth goes dry, and his ears ring with the tiny guitar chords under the thumping of his pulse. "Why didn't you?" he asks, gritting the words out through a closed throat. "Didn't you want him to hear everything we said?" "He doesn't get freebies," Cadman says, leaning up and biting John's lip. "And neither do you." John's not looking for Rodney. He's not even sure what Rodney's schedule is. Some people come nearly every night, some people once a week. Some, he's sure, don't even know the room is there. He's never seen Carson, and he doesn't ask Cadman. This is her respite more than his, and he's got better things to do in the room. He's late tonight, kept in Rodney's lab until all hours, sitting in the command chair and making it tilt back and up again. They spend the balance of every day in close proximity, and Rodney has made no allusion to what happens in the room. John stripped off most of his weaponry. He can't not wear the sidearm in his leg holster in Atlantis, and come to the room in cargo pants that don't fit any better than the original issue and one of the dozen black t-shirts. The music catches him as he steps through the door, resetting his pulse and pushing an easy glide through his hips. He sees Cadman across the room, dancing with someone blocked to him by the crowd. She smiles at him and tilts her head. He responds with a slow beckon, and she rolls her head back to her partner. John starts to dance, aware that he'll have a partner as soon as someone builds up their courage, if Cadman doesn't get there fast. He's not used to dancing alone, but except for her, he never stays with one partner for too long. She comes out of nowhere, tucking up to him, and he fits his hands to her hips in their usual position. Cadman wraps her hands around his wrists, holding them in place, and this is new. He raises eyebrows at her, and she smiles. He should have known he was in trouble. New hands land above his, curling around her waist and canting her away. John looks up and finds himself face to face with Rodney. Rodney is counting the beats. John can almost see his brain working behind his eyes. But he's on tempo, and that's really kind of a surprise. As John watches, Cadman drops her head back on Rodney's shoulder and they kiss, deep and hot. Maybe it's because he's watching from the outside. But John thinks it's different from when he and Cadman kiss. It's something more. Rodney lifts his head and Cadman's lips move in some message to him. Something John can't make out. She smiles and closes her eyes, still sandwiched between them. The latent arousal that lasts his tenure in the room and several hours afterward ramps up instantly, his comfortably heavy cock stiffening into a full erection. John looks up at Rodney and finds his face tense and wary. It takes him until now to realize that Rodney is cutting in, but Cadman's hands are still tight on his wrists, and now she's looking at him too. Then she leans in close and kisses him, tasting like coffee and rough, bland power bar. She tastes like Rodney. John's breath stutters out of him. He knows what she's doing and he loves her for it. She lets him pull his hands away, and he uses them to tilt her head up, bracing her face with his thumbs as he sweeps his tongue inside her mouth. He hunts for every trace of Rodney she still holds, because that's what she's offering, and he's dizzy with it when he finally releases her mouth, letting her guide the increasingly light kisses as they part. Padman turns to Rodney and kisses him, reaching up to take Rodney's face in her hands. The room spins around John, and it might well be empty but for the three of them. Him and Rodney and Cadman guest starring is the only way they can be doing this. Her back is to him now, and he closes what little distance there is, wedging her between Rodney's body and his own. Rodney's hand is on her neck, his palm under her chin. John lifts his own hand to his neck, and it doesn't feel the same. Rodney's drawing off of Cadman, eyes bright and drunk with lust, mouth wet and trembling. John doesn't take his eyes off Rodney as Cadman turns her head and drags a kiss from him. Slow and wet and teasing, then presses it to Rodney's lips. Rodney doesn't break eye contact as Cadman nibbles lightly at his wide mouth. Her teeth press in lightly, scraping along his bottom lip, and then she shifts between them and presses butterfly kisses to John's. She's pulling them closer and closer. Or maybe their own, better than magnetic attraction, is doing the work for her. They're breathing the same air, warm puffs of carbon dioxide that don't quite manage to replace oxygen, when John reaches around Cadman to put his hands on Rodney's shoulders, trapping her between them. Rodney's body is warm under his shirt, and John can feel the muscles of Rodney's arms under his hands. He squeezes to make sure Rodney pays attention this time, to make sure he hears what John is telling him. He meant what he said to Rodney that first night in the hallway, and it's not his fault Rodney misunderstood. Their eyes meet over Cadman's head, and John is very clear about his intent when he says, "I don't want this not to matter." They're playing a dangerous game, John knows it, but he can't seem to stop. He lasts each day only to get to the end, wanting to go to the room so he can fit up against Cadman, watch her kiss Rodney and then taste Rodney in her mouth. He bites gently at his bottom lip, watching Cadman and Rodney make out in front of him. He tastes coffee and lip gloss and waits for his turn. John hates waiting. He's good at it, but he never wanted to be. He brushes Cadman's hair away from the back of her neck and kisses the flushed skin at the top of her spine. Rodney slides his hands around to cup Cadman's arse, and John feels them against the front of his thighs, just inches from his dick. He's already hard and feeling Rodney's hands, knowing how close, what a tease, makes him ache. Finally, Cadman turns and presses her mouth to his, falling immediately into the long, open-mouthed kiss Rodney had really wanted to be giving him. She kisses him in time with the music. He groans as he takes what's his, tensing as she grabs his ass with both hands, squeezing the firm muscles, and that's in time to the music as well. He brings his hands to Cadman's breasts, and rubs his thumbs over the nipples as he kisses her. He's touched her like this before, but he'd really like to be touching Rodney instead. Cadman drags her mouth away and smiles at him so knowingly he feels dirty. She turns to Rodney and runs her hands up his sides, leaning forward to kiss him as she teases his nipples through the shirt. John presses up behind her, watches them go hard and visible beneath the fabric, and licks his bottom lip. Rodney's brow is furrowed, and he has to be hard. There's hardly enough space between him and Cadman for John to see, but he recognizes the expression on Rodney's face when he breaks the kiss. He looks up at John and turns Cadman between them, so she's facing John, and then Rodney reaches around and tucks his hand between her legs. Cadman flushes as Rodney strokes her, his hand busy and precise, but his eyes fixed on John. After a moment, she looks up at him. Same dazed, challenging expression on her face, and she fits her hand over the hard swell of his cock, completely undisguised by the line of his trousers. He sucks in a hard breath as her hand massages him, her grip firm and sure. Then she twists away from them both, her hand squeezing John's, distracting him from Rodney's face, Rodney's eyes, Rodney's mouth. She has hold of Rodney too, and she's pulling them both into the crowd, toward the far wall. John very deliberately does not look at Rodney, and gives himself up to Cadman's whims. He's surprised to find that the room twists into a honeycomb of alcoves and hallways. She shimmies through a doorway, dragging them behind her, and down a dark hallway to an adjoining room. The door closes almost invisibly into the wall, and with a stray thought, John makes sure it locks. The music is still audible through the walls, and the lights that came on when John and Rodney walked in. He thinks the gene therapy worked on Cadman, but he can't remember right now. Are low and warm. She gives Rodney a push toward a piece of furniture that might be an oversized chair or a small love seat. John sits on the opposite sofa, tense, alone with Rodney and Cadman. It's still the room, she says, raking her hair back from her forehead with her fingers. She looks from Rodney to John and back, then straddles Rodney's lap to kiss him. John watches Rodney's hands run over Cadman's arse and down the back of her thighs. He palms himself through his pants, a steady, reliable pressure before Cadman slides off Rodney. He lets his hand fall to his leg before either of them witness his concession, and then Cadman crawls up on his lap. He smiles and lets her push his head back. She lays kisses on his chin and throat before pressing sweetly at his mouth. And John watches Rodney for as long as he can. Rodney looks flushed and anticipatory, as if he doesn't know what's going to happen but thinks he'll like it anyway. At least that's how John feels as he runs his hands up Cadman's thighs, runner's muscles, hard under her tight pants. She's heavy pressed against his cock and starts to grind her hips in a figure eight against him. "If you can't touch him," she murmurs, tongue darting wet against his ear. "If you can't let him satisfy you." She takes the point of his ear between her teeth and slides her tongue along it before drawing back and taking his face in her hands. The colour is high in her fair cheeks, even in the poor lighting, and her eyes are feverish. She kisses his mouth long and deep, and it feels like a benediction, permission to be as fucked up as he needs to be. Cadman rolls off him without warning, collapsing onto the cushions beside him with a deeply happy sigh. John's view of Rodney is unobstructed, and his entire body surges when he sees Rodney's hand pressed between his legs, just as John's was minutes before. He makes as if to move it, and John speaks without thinking. "Don't stop on my account." Rodney's eyes go wide and dark, and he very deliberately moves his hand back into place. John finds himself nodding. "Don't stop there on my account either," he says in a voice so low and harsh he nearly doesn't recognize it as his own. He's flush and breathless with his success, and he needs the pressure of his own hand. He draws it up slowly, watching Rodney fumble with his button fly, and plunge his hand greedily inside. John presses a slow, hard stroke with the heel of his hand and traces a slow circle, watching Rodney fall into a rhythm inside his shorts. "Come on, Rodney," Cadman coaxes, and for the first time, John hears a meaty edge in her voice. She hikes one foot up on the sofa and hugs her knee to her chest. "It's not like I haven't seen it before." Rodney flushes red and John says, "What?" without thinking, turning his head to look at her. He got shut down at her waistband, and Rodney. "I lived in his body for 2 days, Cadman said, reaching out and squeezing John's wrist to keep him from moving his hand away. "Had to take a leak sometime." Her voice shifts, sinking into honeyed, pleading tones. Please, Rodney, let us see. John looks back at Rodney to see blue eyes fixed on him, and Rodney's mouth tucked in tight, full in his court. He's always been good in competition. His free hand makes short work of his fly, and Cadman releases his other wrist so he can fold his pants back. He didn't bother with boxes after his shower, and he's glad, because now he's got his cock in hand and he's looking right at Rodney. Rodney's mouth is moving, but no sound is coming out. John draws his fist all the way down to his stomach and back up, waiting for Rodney to catch on. He does all at once, scrambling to get his pants far enough down, and then untangle his boxes from his hand, which hasn't released his cock during the entire struggle. It would be easier if he just let go, but John has sympathy. He wouldn't want to let go either. Finally, Rodney frees his cock, and John's breath stops in his throat. He squeezes himself at the base to stay calm, and lets himself stare. He'd go crazy trying not to. Rodney's not extraordinary, neither exceptionally large or small, oddly shaped or wet. But there's something about him that makes John's eyebrows rise in the hallways, and his brain shift into fifth gear. And Rodney's cock is all just a package deal with that. John draws his hand slowly forward, the ring of his thumb and index finger sliding up the head, and he's definitely in overdrive. I can leave if you want, Cadman whispers hoarsely in the dark room, and John's mouth goes dry. He's already forgotten she's there with them, and yet he doesn't want to be left alone with this, with Rodney, with his brain engaged at breakneck speeds. He can hear her draw deep breaths through her mouth. But I'd really like to watch. Rodney's gaze shifts, and he makes a sound John might have mistaken elsewhere for pain. God, Laura, he says, clearly on his way to babbling. No, stay, just, oh, wow. Rodney squeezes his eyes shut and arches against the back of the love seat he's sitting on, his fist jerking out a steady rhythm around his cock. John almost can't tear his eyes away from Rodney, but after his reaction, he needs to see Cadman. She's still curled up next to him on the sofa, strands of hair clinging to her cheek. But her hand is in her pants, and her knee's in the way, but he's sure that she's fingering herself. He bites back a harsh groan, the unbidden image of Rodney fingering her flashing in his brain. The room's not all fantasy fulfillment after all. He's not ever going to see that. He turns his attention back to Rodney, who is licking his palm and switching hands for the home stretch. Rodney is staring at John's cock again, mouth open and eyes glazed. John picks up his pace again, squeezing harder, adding more pressure as he watches Rodney back. This time he's aware of Cadman shifting on the seat beside him, the breathing moans and the soft, soft sounds he dares not think too much about. Rodney comes first, fingers slicking as he arches and pants. John watches the gleam spread over the back of his hand and feels the waves of tension build from his extremities and center inward. He wants to reach for Cadman just so he doesn't have to come alone, but she's off limits. The gap between cushions a continental divide. Instead, he locks gazes with Rodney and brings himself off in seconds. John falls back against the sofa as his own cum spreads over his hand. He reaches out blindly with his clean hand and finds Cadman's neck, tangling in her hair and rubbing her pulse with his thumb. He can't tell if she got off or not, but she shifts against him. And the next thing he knows, Rodney is sitting on the other end of the sofa and she's sandwiched between them. And he thinks that this, really, would be a very bad time to just go to sleep.